Dug into Daniel a little bit. Chase, what's the first slide there? Let's see if we're actually working here. We got a new projector we're trying to figure out here. So Daniel, the go-to guy. We talked a little bit about this idea that Daniel was this guy that you could just continue to lean on. He was known and had a strong and long history of somebody that you could lean on over and over and over again. But Daniel also had kind of a posse with him. So he had these three other guys that were going along with him. And so I wanted to spend some time this week talking about these three guys. So let me back up and tell you a little bit about the history again. So I did this last week. I'm going to stand up because I just feel like I can't see everybody. In Daniel chapter 1, as the story goes, in fact, if you've got a Bible and you want to get it out and just open it up to Daniel, and the way to find Daniel is to go to the front and find out what page it's on and then find it because it's next to impossible to find otherwise. In Daniel chapter 1, as the story goes, is we've got this Babylonian empire that is kind of pushing its way around. And they have gone in and taken some of the Jews, some of the Israelites, some of the kind of preferred Israelites. These are folks that had a history of getting things done. And so Daniel and then three other guys that we're going to talk about here in a minute were all a part of that group. And they were brought into this Babylonian empire, and they were given a kind of like different leadership positions. But let's put the next slide up here. Something really important to see. Ooh, that's tiny. Sorry about that. Here are their names on the left-hand side. This is their Jewish name. So you've got Daniel, you've got Hananiah, Mishael, and then Azariah. And there's what the meanings are. And so you can see these guys had names that were closely linked to God. So Daniel means something like God is my judge, kind of like God is ruling my life. Hananiah is along the lines of God is gracious. Mishael is someone who is like God, someone who represents God well. And Azariah is someone that says God has helped them. They were given new names. And what's kind of interesting is that the new names weren't like, I've got Asian friends that none of us ridiculous Americans can say their names. So they come to the U.S., and their name is, let's say, Sisu or something like that, and they go by Sam, you know. And it always kind of makes me laugh because I have a hard time taking it serious. But they're sort of, sometimes their name sounds like it, but a lot of times they just kind of pick a name they sort of like and they go with it. But that wasn't the case in this. These names were given to these guys. They didn't choose them. And most likely there was a little more to it than just randomly giving them a name. So you can see that Daniel's name switched over to Belteshazzar, which there's a king that we talked briefly about last week. I didn't tell you his name, but his name was Belshazzar. So those are linked very close. But it means a prince of Bel. Bel is one of the gods. And so it's basically saying you are a prince or you are underneath the guidance of one of the Babylonian gods. Shadrach means under the command of Aku, which is the moon god. And so for you guys here, by the way, I'm really supposed to be teaching the kids, and then you're supposed to all listen in. So that's what I'm going to try to remember that this week, okay? So I don't rip you guys off too much. You all right with that? No comment? Okay. All right. If you guys think about the moon god, you can think all the way back to Genesis chapter 1. I talk about this a lot. But in Genesis 1, when they talk about God creating this light of the day and then this lesser light at night, a big reason I believe that that's in Genesis chapter 1 is it's to drive the point home that if you worship this Aku, the moon god, well, I'm here to tell you that my God created Aku. My God is bigger and greater than Aku. Okay, so... But in this case, they're kind of switching that back, and they're saying, Shadrach, you're under the command of Aku. Meshach, that's one that says that you are like Aku. That's what that name would mean. And then Abednego, they don't really know for sure what it means, but the Abed part of that means you're a servant. And the Nego, they think very well may have just been a slight change from the god whose name was Nebo. The point of this is that these four guys, great leaders, great people in God's kingdom, were taken into the Babylonian Empire, and they were given new names, and that was like step one to try to draw them down, step one to kind of put a chink in their armor, all right? So that's what happened in chapter one. Chapter two, if you remember, is whenever King Nebuchadnezzar had this crazy dream. And you guys remember when he decided he wanted to get the dream interpreted, because he knew there was something big going on to this dream, and he started asking for people that would interpret this dream. What was his big, the big deal that he did to make sure he could trust somebody when they interpreted his dream? There was something he did that was a little bit tricky about that. Right, he didn't tell him what the dream was. He said, first, you've got to tell me what is the dream. You've got to give me the details of this dream, and if you can do that, then I'll trust that you can interpret the dream correctly. All right, and so after that, King Nebuchadnezzar gets a little bit more respect. In fact, a lot more respect for God. And things are looking up a little bit. And then we get into chapter 3. And things kind of turn back around a little bit. So sit back, relax, get comfortable. I'm going to read. Now, I know when someone reads to you, it's a little bit dry and kind of takes on a little time here. It's a fairly long reading, but I want you guys to hear this story. So you just watched the bunny story. Some of you did. And so that is about King Nebuchadnezzar. He was the big bunny leading things. And then Rakshak and Benny. Did I say that right, Savannah? Or whoever? Rakshak and Benny? Okay, so Rakshak and Benny were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And so you saw that story. Now listen to the story. This is NIV. So if you've got one of the NIV Bibles, you can read along with me. This is Daniel chapter 3, starting with verse 4. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "Nations and peoples of every language, this is what you are commanded to do. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, pipe, and all kinds of music," they have got a big band going here. "As soon as you hear the sound of this big band, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, and all kinds of music, all the nations, all the peoples of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up." But at this time, there were some astrologers, and these were people that were in some ways viewed very similarly to Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were people that were viewed as having kind of like some special powers. Maybe they could sort of read some signs, or at least they could make people think they could. This time there were some astrologers that came, and they said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound must fall down and worship the image of gold, and whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into the fire. But there are some Jews who have set their affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar was furious with rage, and he summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he said, "Is it true that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre," here he goes through all the instruments again, "if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I've made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace." So he kind of already, you can sort of see these guys had a little bit of respect, because he first said, anybody who doesn't do it, bam, you're in the fire. But he knows a little bit about these guys, so he's kind of soft-shoeing a little bit, and he's saying, all right, I'm going to give you a second chance. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, said, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it." They didn't say he would, but they said he's able. He's able to deliver us from it. "And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he doesn't, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and put them into the furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement, and he asked his advisors, "Weren't there three men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" And they replied, "Certainly, Your Majesty." And he said, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, and governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They said that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. And then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God, capital G, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants." It's a great story. It's just a completely, completely awesome story. Chase, what's the next slide? Let's try to kind of apply this to ourselves here and see if we can put a little bit of two and two together here of how this applies to each of us. When we see this story, what is the piece of it that stands out to you? What's the part that jumps out to you the most? Anybody? Fire. Okay, fire. All right. Scary fire. I'm sorry, I heard something. Four men instead of three, yeah. Excellent.
Just the fact that they can stand there and say, "Even though you're going to throw me in a furnace, I'm going to stand by my God and thank you."
Wow, that's crazy, isn't it?
I mean, they all didn't partner up and say, "Well, we better lie just to save our butts." They stood there and they said, "No matter what."
Yeah. Yeah, awesome. Anybody else? Isn't that fabulous? He's able, but even if he doesn't. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, they were given those names, and they didn't seem to, at least there's no recording of them doing anything other than answering to those names. Right, right. But they obviously had a point they weren't going to cross. Yep, Brandon.
I'd say to kind of build on Ben's point, if many of us evangelicals were in such a situation, we'd be more obsessed with being called a Babylonian name and fighting it. You can't call me your Babylonian name. We'd spend more time doing that than we'd miss the point. So that's what we kind of do sometimes.
Yep. kind of miss the point sometimes. Yeah, we do that a lot. I do that a lot.
Fighting the wrong fight.
Yeah, fighting the wrong fight. Yep. Anybody else? Was anybody glad they just didn't get burned? I think it's interesting because when we teach this to kids, you guys are like thinking this thing way deeper than I thought you would. So you've really messed me up here. Not that I'm saying you're not intelligent. That wasn't where I was going. Now, when we teach this to kids, it seems like we oftentimes talk about God saved them from the fire, and we kind of get all hung up in that. And I don't know the history behind that for everybody. But I have to admit that I kind of think about that a lot because it's kind of the way I tend to want God to be, how can I say? I want God to supply me with the things I want. Like I don't want to get burned in a fire, so I want God to keep me from getting burned. And as I was studying this, I was really kind of amazed how there were a number of these bits and pieces that you guys are picking out here that we were missing. So I kind of stepped back and I thought, the impending fiery furnace. Chase, what's the first point there? How would you guys respond to Nebuchadnezzar's threat? You can think about in that VeggieTale movie, they were out there in the kind of the arena, and the big chocolate bunny was up there, and he came out on that little hydraulic platform, and he's basically saying, bow down or you're going into the furnace. Just be straight up in life. Say that again.
The fact that there is a furnace.
Okay.
Ready all the time.
For the bad bunnies.
Yeah. I mean, for anybody, like that you would live in a place where that was a possibility.
We're not used to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. How would you respond? Just being honest. Do you think you would do what they did? How do you respond at work when you hear maybe gossip or somebody ripping somebody apart? And you deep down inside, you know that's no good. But the truth of it is, the people you hang with are ripping people apart. And if you want to be a part of that group of cool people, you kind of just need to join in or at least keep your mouth shut and go along with it. How do you guys respond to Neb's threat? Would you do what he did?
Hope so.
Hope so, yeah. Sure wish we would. Yep. How many of you guys think you'd bow down? Just be done with it. How many of you would bow down and then you'd figure out a way to justify it? That's what I would do. So you bow down and then you say, that's really good. Drop my contact. Perfect. I can't find it for now. See what I would do? I would bow down and then I would say, well, it's because next Tuesday I've got a Bible study I'm supposed to lead. And I mean, if I don't bow down and get through this thing, you know,
You know, one of the things, too, is and when we watched the video, and he had two others with him, you know, and it's telling me the importance that God is not asking me to do stuff by myself. I can choose to be alone, or I can choose
Right, right.
That we need each other.
Yeah.
The importance of having each other.
Yeah, you wonder if the three of them hadn't had a little accountability, like looking at each other, like, mm-hmm. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Right. They were probably singing campfire songs. So, let me ask you this. You got Neb's threat in front of you, and you're a pretty good person, so you're going to do some praying. What are you going to pray for? Okay, you're going to pray you don't want to go into the fire, right? What else are you going to pray for? Anything? The strength and character not to bow down. You're a good student. Yes? Great answer. What else? A big glass of milk to go with the chocolate bunny. Perfect. I wrote down three here that I would do. One thing is I would just pray that God would stop Nebuchadnezzar, stop what he's doing. Another one I would do would pray that maybe Nebuchadnezzar would change his mind. Another one I put on there is that maybe he'd blow the fire out. You know, maybe there wouldn't be a fire, all right? Because that's the way I respond to things. That's the way I, you know, that's what I do, because that's all about protecting me, and that's all about giving me what I want. Chase, what's the next one? So how did they respond? You said it earlier. I'll give you another chance. How'd they respond? The part about when they were talking to Nebuchadnezzar, and he told them to bow down. Yeah, I think this is so critical for us because it's something that we really, really struggle with, is this idea of saying, God, I'm not sure where this is going, so here's what I want. Here's what I want. I want the fire to go out, or I don't want to have to go in there. Or I want somebody to change their mind, or I want. But you know what? If that doesn't happen, that's not going to shake me. My faith is way deeper than this. Like this is just a speed bump in the road. I might die over it, but I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to lose my faith over this one deal. Okay? What's next, Chase? Maybe? All right. So the next thing is this idea of going into the fire. So give me the next line there, next bullet. And I think this is absolutely huge. This was the piece that I really, really missed on this thing, walking into the fire. When you see this impending fire coming in your life and you see something that is really, really super uncomfortable that you're going to go into, which way do you go? Do you abandon it? Do you try to run away? Or do you go right into it? Do you have the faith in God? And so if you're thinking this through, you're going, wait, but you're completely turning this story upside down, Quinn, because these people didn't have any choice. They were thrown in the fire, right? I don't know. What about the people that threw them into the fire? What happened to them? They died, right? Well, it's hard for someone to throw you further into the fire once they've died, right? Right? No, they went right on in. At that point, they were like, no, we're with God. That's what's going to happen. That's where we're going to go. We're going right on into this thing. They had the option. They probably could have fought it. They could have done a lot of things. They went right on in. What's next, Chase? Walked in. Yep. Is there one more? One more? There we go. All right. So this last one I wanted to get you guys thinking about is walking around in the fire. How'd they get out of the fire? Let's first go there. And we're going to get a little more practical here in a minute. How'd they get out of the fire? They walked out. Who told them to come out? Did God tell them to come out of the fire? Go ahead. Their faith got them out of the fire. Okay. They didn't burn, that's for sure. Yep. So God did tell them to come out of the fire. Nebuchadnezzar told them to come out of the fire. Right? When we tell this story, to me, I think I always thought about it a little bit kind of crooked and sideways because I always talked about God saving them from the fire. And it always had this vision in my mind of God like rescuing them out of the fire kind of a thing. But when you read the story, you realize that they went into the fire and they're cruising around in this fire with a little music in the background. And a fourth guy shows up. And he's hanging out there with them as well. At that point, what's the deal with the fire? Like, you've already overcome the fire. The fire has no control whatsoever over you. God is obviously in the middle of the fire. And so they're just hanging in the fire. The guards had all died. When Nebuchadnezzar said, come out, they just walked out. You guys see what I'm saying? That fire wasn't constraining them. They felt like that's where they were supposed to go. And that's where they were at, walking around in this fire. Until Nebuchadnezzar said, come on out. They're like, hey, we're in this Babylonian Empire. You wanted to throw us in the fire? God's with us. We're good with that. And Nebuchadnezzar comes out and they say, sure, we'll come out. Now, if I had been able to orchestrate what I would have wanted to have happen from that very early point, so let's say I was Shadrach, and I had prayed to God that King Nebuchadnezzar would die, maybe. That would be the kind of thing I would pray. And that King Nebuchadnezzar might die, and so I wouldn't have to go into the fire. Would we be talking about this story today? No. No. Not at all. I mean, there's more to this story. There's more to what's going on, why God had this be carried out. So now what I want to tell you guys, or I want you guys to tell me, is, Chase, what have I got underneath that? Just to make sure I'm not missing anything. Yeah. So are you guys willing to lean on God through the tough times? All we want to do, if you guys are like me, when times get tough, when work gets sloppy, when coworkers are bugging me, whenever Jill and I are not getting along, that used to happen a long time ago, all I want to have happen is I want God to rescue me out of the fire, right? That's what I want. I just want him to come in and just fix it and get me out. It's like I just want to run away. When we talked last week about being that person that can be leaned on, are you the person that gets leaned on? Are you the person that gets leaned on all the time? When times get tough, we lean on God, but we always want, or we oftentimes want God to take us out of that. Brandon probably had a couple of those times over the last week. So, no problem. No problem. And we want out so bad, and I think that if I'm in God's shoes, I don't have any problem with us wanting that. The problem is whenever we decide, since God's not given us what we want, we decide to walk away. The problem is that are we willing to lean on God in those tough times and say, hey, God, I'm in the fire. I'm walking circles in the flames, but I know the fourth guy is right here with me. I trust you that you're going to be right there with me, and I don't have to worry about the fact that this fire is going to burn me up. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think sometimes we're not willing to believe that God will continue to save us through the whole process.
Yeah, I don't think God's a God of one-hit wonders.
But I mean, like, I think he
keeps going.
Like, okay, he did it, so I can't, like, think he's going to do it again.
Right.
Continue to do it. So we want to get out of the fire as fast as possible.
Right.
We run the other direction out of it. Because you provided, I can't test this before. But he provides all the way through, as long as our trials are asked.
Yeah, several years ago, and you guys have heard this story. Some of you heard this story before. When I worked at Cummins, I got to the point where when I would drive into the parking lot each day, I would sit in my car, and I'd have to, like, have this little self-motivational time to actually go inside the building because I was so unbelievably miserable. I mean, I felt like I was walking around the fire each day at work, and all I wanted to do was be rescued from it. And the really cool part about it is God eventually answered my prayer. And I really, really appreciate that. He got me a new job, and it all worked out fabulous. But I look back on it, and I think that God is such a good dad that he knew that I just wasn't mature enough to realize that if I wanted to stay in that fire and walk around, he would have been there with me the whole time. It could have gone either way. I needed to mature myself through it. But I think in my life, I'm not willing to lean on God through the tough times. Chase, what's the next point? Yeah. Yeah, so I mean,
and it's not about those three guys. It's about God working through a situation. Like, if it was me, I would be in there complaining about something. I would be doubting God. I would probably even be hating Nebuchadnezzar rather than loving the enemy. But I think that that's the beauty of the story, is that God maybe never gives up on anybody and works through a situation for redemption of even his opposition.
Praying for Nebuchadnezzar.
If they're like me, there's no chance. But yeah, I think there could certainly be the possibility. They obviously seemed quite loving toward him and quite accepting to when they came out of the fire to be quite supportive of him. So are you willing to wait on God through the tough times? How long do you have to wait? How long's too long? How do you know? Are you willing to wait on God? How many of you guys, when you send a text message, if you don't get a response back within 1 to 2 minutes, your brain begins to say, oh, did I upset them? Are they, what, you know, because we are that way today. Bam, 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 you know. And yet the truth of it is sometimes they just didn't get it, you know. Or they're in doing something like they're at Holiday World and they left their phone in the car and they're not going to get back till that night. That was me this week. So are you guys willing to wait on God in the tough times? Chase, is there one more? Two more. Excellent. Oh, yeah. Well, I already said it. Daniel's posse didn't come out until Neb asked for them. And if, what's the last one? And people are still talking about this story today. It's just beautiful the way God will work if we will lean on him and give him the time to do it. I want to open it up for just a second here and let you guys share with us what are some fiery furnaces that are either coming down the path for you or that you're in the middle of or you've gone through in the past. What are some of these fiery furnaces where you've had that struggle that you've been in the middle of something and it's been eating you alive and it's been really, really hard? Anybody willing to share? Yeah, I mentioned either last week or to the kids, 2 weeks ago, I can't remember which it was, about Peter. I mean, we could talk about these things and talk about how, oh, yeah, I'll lean on God. Peter was a pretty good guy, and he walked around and said he didn't know Jesus on Jesus' last day before his crucifixion. So we're kidding ourselves to think that this isn't a really, really tough deal to lean on God like this. Anybody else? Cousin. Okay. Should we look for the fire? Possibility? Thank you. tomorrow. Yes. Oh, go sucker first. Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah, and in fact, they make the point there at the end of the story that they got a lot of the officials gathered around them and, you know, made comments like not only were they not burned or singed, they didn't even smell like they were burned. I mean, they were apparently completely 100% protected while they were inside there. So, Andy. We'll take care of that later. Very good. Thank you. Very good. Guys, I'm going to take a couple minutes here just to give us some silence because I think you really, it's worthwhile. Just take 3 or 4 minutes here and then I'll close us out in prayer. You guys think about the fires you're in, the fires you see coming, or maybe even fires from the past that you might have ran out of whenever maybe you should have hung around in them a little bit longer. You guys chew on that for a couple minutes here. Pray to God about that. I'll close us out with prayer. And after I close this out, we have a couple of announcements, and then we will let you go get the kids. So just go ahead. Ryan, if you want to play some music quietly, that would be awesome.
So you thought you had to keep this up, all the work that you do. So we think that you're good, and we can't believe it's not enough. All the walls you build up are just glass on the outside. So let them fall down. There's freedom waiting in the sound. When you let your walls fall to the ground, we're here now. This is where the healing begins.
God, we just ask that you'll help us to have the strength to lean on you. God, we ask that we'll be the children you want us to be. That we will lean on you, and that we'll know when to lean on others, and we'll know when to let others lean on us. God, whatever's going through each of our minds as we think about the fires that we walk around in each and every day. God, help us to know that there are times that you're going to be right there with us, but we're still going to walk into the fire. And there's going to be times that the fire is burning all around us, and you're going to be right there next to us helping us out. But that doesn't mean that we get out of it. It just means we're working our way through it. And there's going to be times that we're going to get out of the fire. And God, we ask for patience. We ask for wisdom. God, we ask that we'll know the difference between when we're supposed to move on and when we're supposed to wait until we are clearly understanding where you're wanting us to go. God, as we reach out into this community in Columbus, and we reach out to our friends at work, God, help our story to be a story that lasts. Help us to be a kind of person that's known as being somebody that's a go-to person, or somebody that our friends can lean on. Help us to be the example you want us to be, so that this community can realize where the true foundation's at, and know where the true solid rocks are at, and know that it's not just a bunch of people hanging out together to do whatever modern, hip, cool thing they want to do, but that it's a group of people that are hanging out together because you're the ruler of our lives, and you're the king, and you represent the best way to live, the only healthy way to live. God, we love you. We ask that you will just be close to us always. We ask that you'll help us to be close to you, close to each other, and close to this community around us. Through Christ we pray. Amen. All right, guys. One last thing on the organization front. We are making some strides around here to try to get things a little bit more orderly. It's an area that we could certainly grow in. So starting on time is something we're trying to push for. So, if, you know, it sounds like a funny thing, but continue to pray that you'll help us to be accountable and move forward on that. When you guys get emails, and by the way, if you don't get the news updates from the living room, it's news@the-living-room.org. Send an email to that, and that way you can get your name added to that list to get news updates. On the bottoms of those emails, how many of you see these links on the bottoms of the email? Anybody? We got one? See, nobody knows they're there. All right, so there we got a couple people. On the bottoms of those emails, there's a bunch of links, things like a calendar. That kind of gives you an idea of what's going on in this building. Things like a sign-up for building maintenance. Where's Patrick at? Patrick gets a prize today. It's only a verbal one. But because on our building maintenance to-do list, Patrick has the honor of being the first one to check the box that it's done. Our dumpster is no longer in the middle of our parking lot, so that's awesome. Yeah, it's the small things we celebrate around here. But anyways, by all means, you can open those up. Those documents are editable, so you can add and change to those as you need to. There's also places in there if you're a child care worker, or something like that, you can go in and see what weeks you're on and those kinds of things. But that requires all of us as a community to continue to check them occasionally and update them. And we're going to work on that, try to make that more user-friendly. But by all means, the next time you get a news email, go down and click around on some of those links and kind of get familiar with where those are at and what those mean to you. So any other last-minute announcements?